This is a conversation with Peter Cousins, CTO of WorkFusion, who has spent his career at the intersection of AI, banking, and compliance. Peter shared how his early fascination with AI evolved into building AI agents that help the banks prevent financial crime by automating routine decisions with high accuracy. I loved how he emphasized human-in-the-loop systems and the evolving role of human judgment in an AI-driven future. Very nice to meet you, Peter. Thank you very much for joining Humans on AI show. I appreciate your time. Yeah, let's start. So, Peter, you said your career has been at the intersection of technology and business, right? And now you are the CTO at WorkFusion and you're doing AI. How did your career with technology has prepared for you for AI? Like, how do you see yourself as you are ready for it, or it was for you hard to really embrace AI?
No, all the way back to university, I was working on my own major program that was custom based on artificial intelligence. So it's always been a keen interest of mine. And throughout the years, my theme has been, as a product creator, to go in and figure out the technology assets that someone has, but rechannel them in a way that people will really want to buy and want to pay for. And I saw an opportunity at WorkFusion to do exactly that. Previously, worked at banks. I worked in a lot of data integration and middleware types of companies. I worked in marketing automation and ad tech, all things that had a high degree of automation requirements with increasing amounts of intelligence. Culminating with when I was at Bottomline, I was CTO and had the innovation mandate. My primary agenda was to drive AI into all of our products in banking and payments. When WorkFusion needed my help, my primary focus was on what did people really love using the product for? Where were they the most successful, and how to make it repeatable? And banking and payments, anti-financial crime in particular, was the sweet spot. When the rest of the team got involved, we came up with this idea of AI agents, which back then we called digital workers, which is primarily the vehicle for productizing what we saw as the recurring patterns in these customers, but then taking it further and making sure that it really felt like someone coming to work for you as opposed to a tech toolkit showing up on your doorstep.
Okay, very interesting. Talking about digital workers that now called AI agents, famously called like that, what is your, in your point of view, what is the magic of the AI agents? Because I hear a lot about executives talking about how they just automate your work and how efficient and productive they are. But what is the magic of AI agents? That's just what I would like to understand more in depth than just, okay, they just automate the task.
Yeah, sure. So I think historically, there's been a lot of problems that resisted automation because the problems were too nuanced. There was complexity in the reasoning. There was complexity in interpreting information to be gathered. And AI agents, I think the breakthrough is in being able to tackle that kind of complexity, be able to do so reliably, consistently, and to do it in cooperation with people. So not just as something that goes off and does something as a straight through processing only automation, but something that is really a force multiplier for the people who work in banks, takes a more tedious and routine work off of their plates and allows them to focus on the things that matter most so that we can really move the needle on risk and on preventing crime that's using the financial system.
What do you mean with crime using AI agents?
AI agents help catch criminals who are trying to establish bank accounts in the first place. It helps prevent payments going to people who are sanctioned by the United States or other world governments in order to crack down on abuses in human trafficking and narco trafficking and war. AI agents help look at anti-money laundering abuses or alerts that are potential signs of anti-money laundering abuses and solve for those alerts by adjudicating them and leaving the ones that are really the most risky and the most problematic for people. Really, some of my clients have referred to it as getting rid of the haystack so that only the needles remain and we can work on the needles.
Okay, very interesting. I haven't heard about that. part of the AI agent. So I kind of like it. I guess that at WorkFusion, you guys do something like that, right? So can you explain a little bit what you guys do there?
Sure.
So we've built screening agents, which do things like screen entities, that's people and companies, to see if any of them are subject to sanctions or are politically exposed persons who you have to keep a closer eye on because there could be signs of corruption that you need to be vigilant about or undue influence. And those generate tons of alerts. The systems that monitor for that every day in the financial system, 99% of them are false positives. So the trick is you have to be able to look at each one of these alerts, look at it a little bit more carefully than the upstream system, which is generating the alerts in the first place. Sometimes do additional research in order to make a decision and get all the false positives that you can adjudicated so that what's left is a much more problem-rich area for people to focus on doing the remaining work. See, the problem with all these false positives is that people get bored and you start routinely clicking next, next, next. You've probably done this in your own life when you're looking for something in the digital world and you click next too many times, you realize, oh no, I just actually missed something that I wanted to see. And now I can't go back and find it so easily. So, you know, that's what sanction screening is all about. And that exploded after the Ukraine war. So many banks were really struggling to keep up with the volumes that were being generated. So sanction screening is both at the entity level, which is for recurring analysis of the customer base, but also for new customers that are being onboarded. And it's for looking at parties who might benefit from a transaction to make sure they're not subject to sanction. So those are the sanction screening. We also have something that handles adverse media. So looking at your customer base on an ongoing basis to make sure that there's no one there who's been indicted for a serious crime or has a serious reputational risk, and being able to close out the fire hose of irrelevant things that get caught when you're first looking for it and leaving only the things that are really relevant and need human attention. So then beyond that, we do much more deep investigation work with AI agents, which do things like KYC, know your customer, as an onboarding process where you have to understand deeply your customers that you're bringing in into the business. And on a periodic basis, there's refresh. Making that so it can be done in real time so that it's event driven and we're looking for signals in the world and in the bank and so on that might be a sign of someone becoming a much higher risk and not waiting years for a periodic refresh to happen. That's what happens when AI agents are present, is that kind of thing is practical. People tried to do that in the past because it is such a breakthrough in trying to prevent financial crime, but they just couldn't do it because the volumes are such that we can't possibly keep up with it. So AI agents make that possible. AI agents also make it possible to do things like screen every entity in a payment transaction, because payment transactions have not just who's making the original payment and who's receiving the money finally, but all the places in between where it travels. And looking at every aspect of that chain to see if any of them are problematic is something that people dreamed about for years, but now with AI agents, you can actually do it. And nobody would ask a person to expend that kind of labor on every single payment that's going through the financial system. But with AI agents, we can do it now.
Okay. Very interesting. Peter, you've been CTO across multiple industries. How has your leadership style evolved to meet all the challenges of embracing AI in these high trust systems like banking and companies?
Yes. For most of my career, I wound up working very significantly with banks. So I know them well. My first serious job was at Bankers Trust, which is now part of Deutsche Bank, in the early 90s. And that was for money transfer systems. A lot of the customers of my data integration and middleware integration products were all banks. I really understand what banks are looking for. Then as CTO at Bottomline, it was a banking pure play. It was $500 million a year SaaS banking and payments company. So for me, it hasn't been a big switch. It's been about really how to introduce AI and how to get people comfortable with AI. And I think the mindset change there is it's not a one-time persuasion to get people interested in the product. It's a persuasion that has to happen over the entire implementation cycle and beyond so that people trust it. And that trust means not only are you handling the information well, but your performance is terrific. Your automation rate is extremely high, and your accuracy is better than people. And that's a lot. That's a big burden of proof that you have to establish, right? We have all kinds of mechanisms to backtest across a year's worth of data to make sure that we have zero errors. Then to roll it out into production with people watching what the system is proposing to do, but without the system being free to make any decisions. And then finally, once everyone's agreed this thing is actually more accurate than anyone who's touching it, then it's allowed to make some decisions. And often, usually in a maker checker model where someone's even reviewing decisions even after they've been made. Later, to have double blind decisioning between people and machine and sounding the alarms if there's any discrepancy between the human decisions and the machine decisions. And that's what keeps it over time from drifting off course. And I'd say that's the biggest thing, making sure that people understand deeply how the system works, understanding that it works better than they could imagine, and making sure that it stays that way and it's explainable to regulators and everyone else on the team.
Okay. What do you think about humans in the loop in AI?
Yeah. I think human in the loop is, it's a really important aspect of things, right? What we want is not something that gets close and close is good enough, because it's not. It's that something is right all of the time. And what that means is that if there's any lack of confidence about something, you have to be conservative and you need a second pair of eyes from a person. And that's the key to making sure that you get highly automated work, but without having errors or hallucinations, right? So that's number one. The second thing is, a lot of times you cannot perfectly automate everything, but 90% is a great result. And so if you can reduce the amount of time the person needs to work on things by doing 90% of the work for them, you wouldn't want to give up and lose all that because you couldn't do 100%. And I think in a fair amount of scenarios, you have to be able to accept the good and not let the best be the enemy of that. And human in the loop is how you actually embrace a great outcome without being a perfect outcome, by making it perfect through cooperation between people and AI agents.
Makes sense. So, Peter, do you have any mentor or community leader, could be, that you follow? Because there's a lot of things about AI agents and AI, and there are a lot of people talking about things, but do you have any thing, it can be a community person or mentor, who really you follow or you focus the most on?
I wouldn't say so. I'd say it's too broad to select any one name. The amount of material you have to stay on top of is astounding. So you can't really limit your perspective by looking at a few individuals. I think I consume broad and deep set of information, often just starting with a particular idea and looking for a wide set of points of view on ways to solve it, or success or failures that people have had, in order to try to socialize it. So I can't really say there's one particular influence that dominates.
Yeah, I actually usually like to ask this question because there's so much going on about AI that I always found it interesting what people follow, because usually most of the people I follow, it's on LinkedIn, right? Some people that I follow or connections or followers or whatever. And I just found it interesting because everybody says a very different thing about AI. So I found it such a crazy world of AI right now. How do you really keep yourself grounded?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is just constantly talking to customers, looking at the problems they're facing, looking at the problems we're solving for them, and how could we do better, where they're really happy and where they want more, looking at problems that they don't have a solution for and thinking about how we might solve that, and thinking about, is that related to what we do enough that it wouldn't be a distraction, versus it's just a bridge too far and we should leave that to someone else. I think it's conversations with customers that really inform me and inspire me more than anything else.
So what's a misconception about AI that you wish more people will unlearn?
Yeah. So I think the biggest thing that I see is people starting to believe in magic. And I like people to try to come with more of an applied science perspective than a you know, an almost arts and letters perspective, which is sometimes what happens. And I think, what was it? Arthur C. Clarke, I think, said that any advanced technology is almost indistinguishable from magic. So certainly it's understandable that people would become beguiled by the possibility of AI. But it's very clear that general intelligence is not here. And what we need is directed intelligence. And so figuring out how to let the things that are really, truly a breakthrough in some of the latest AI technologies contribute without allowing them to tip over the ship is really one of the most important things. And to bring it home to the answer, I think a lot of people wind up doing a kind of weekend proof of concept of, hey, look at what I was able to do with ChatGPT. Can I just now put this into production? And the answer is, of course not, because there's a long way to go between doing a rainy weekend POC with a cool, both beautiful and flawed technology, and then trying to actually put that to work to do something meaningful in a reliable way, where the stakes are as high as they are in anti-financial crime where we work, right? So people can't have errors. They can't have hallucinations. They need things that are completely reproducible. They need things that are completely reliable. They need them to be exactly explainable, and they need to be able to control the behaviors in a way that they would with a person if they're giving it coaching. And so I wish people would understand the full life cycle of the problem and the magnitude of the importance of getting everything right before they declare victory on some gee whiz POCs.
Talking a little bit about what you said, which was like, you guys cannot make errors, right? Or cannot make mistakes. How do you have any use case or example that you could share with us that obviously not in your, not a confidential information, like what you can share with us about WorkFusion, an example that it would be very bad if there were a mistake, but you guys make sure that it was successful.
Sure. Yeah. To me, the sanctions one is the easiest to understand. Yeah. If a payment winds up getting sent to someone who's a human trafficker, a narco trafficker, a terrorist, or a warmonger, that's, first of all, just morally repugnant, right? Second of all, the regulators will issue substantial fines when such things are discovered. And they're career enders for the people involved. So we take that very seriously. And that's why we've put so much energy into making sure that we have regulatory grade AI that doesn't make mistakes, that is conservative, has a great result, which allows people to focus on things and prevents human traffickers, terrorists, warmongers, drug traffickers from being able to benefit from their awful activity.
Okay, understood. So looking towards the future, what is your vision of, as the CTO and leader of WorkFusion, how do you see WorkFusion in 5 to 10 years with all these AI agents, automation, and this new technology and evolution for sure?
I think one thing is, right now, the primary focus that we've had has been on taking alerts that have been generated from other systems and adjudicating them and closing the ones that are clearly not a problem, allowing people to focus on the ones that are. And we've moved more into investigations where it's a cooperative approach with people of gathering a lot of data, automating that data collection, automating the massaging of that information so it's in an actionable form, doing different kinds of analysis on it, presenting it in a kind of dossier with a stack rank of what's interesting and what's not, right? And proposing a decision. I think what's going to happen more and more is, what are the things that now you know that the cost of labor for certain things is going to zero that become possible for the first time? What kind, just some of the examples that we were already doing, like being able to look at risky events in real time, both inside and outside the banks, to see a customer might be graduating from a low risk to a high risk customer and getting ahead of it, instead of waiting years to figure that out and the damage is done. I think being able to do that more and more with more and more sophisticated sources of information, having deeper and more sophisticated kinds of analysis, being more and more accurate and being able to better appreciate the nuances of severity of an issue and urgency of an issue. I think that's where it's going.
Okay, thanks. I've got one last question for you. So, what human quality do you believe will become even more important in an AI-powered future?
Oh, for people, not for the AI agents. Yeah. So I think the human quality that matters most here is being flexible and being able to understand that when routine things are done, the things that are left are more rewarding and more complex and more important, and embracing that and learning how to master those things and be learning how to use AI as a assistant that makes you 100 times more productive, and not worrying about the implications of that, because it's going to then allow us to do things that previously were just impossible. And so the demand for human ingenuity, decision-making, and vigilance, it's limitless, the demand for that. So anything that doesn't require exactly those things and can be done by fewer people with more machine help is going to allow us to expand the scope of what people are contributing into things that otherwise were impossible.
Great. Thanks, Peter. Thanks for your time. I appreciate this conversation. It was very interesting what you guys are doing at WorkFusion. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it too.
Thanks for listening to the Humans and AI podcast. We are here to spotlight the people making AI more human. One story at a time. See you in the next episode.